This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule as you're helping so many companies navigate through the legal world as they're trying to manage this. So today we're going to talk about why you need a COVID policy to protect your employees and your company. And so I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, what you do, the company you work with, and then we can go right into this really, really important topic.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Bruce. My name is Susie Cirilli. I am an attorney with the firm Offit Kerman in Philadelphia. We're in New York, Maryland, Charlotte, and PA. And my practice is labor and employment, and recently kind of all things COVID.
Got it. So you know your stuff. You know your COVID law, your employment law. So let's get right into it because this is a big, hairy, and scary topic. So first thing, as companies are thinking about how to protect their employees and their companies during COVID from a legal standpoint, what are you constantly hearing people ask about first? Before we go into the things that they should and should not be doing, what are people most afraid of? What are most HR and business leaders reaching out to you to talk about?
Employees. It's been as horrific as this whole thing has been. It's a common theme that I've been hearing from clients and people in business are, how do we do this? How do we protect our people? And how do we go back to running our business? The questions depend on where these companies are, where they are located, and what industry they are in. If a company is all remote, the questions are different, but it all starts with how. It's not why. I'm not hearing any businesses say, why did this happen? Why me? It's more like, how do we do this and what do I have to do?
Okay. So let's talk about the first how question, which is how do you protect your employees in your company right now? So today is May 14th, so that people have a timestamp for what the world looks like during this very specific time so they could understand where you're coming from with your answers. So if someone was to ask you today, which I'm sure they did, how do I protect my employees and company right now? I know we're going to talk about how do I bring everyone back and everything that works, and everything that's going to be involved with bringing people back to the office if you go back to the office in the first place. But right now, what should I be doing? What should I be looking out for?
Sure. So again, it depends on where these people are. So every state has different orders and different guidelines. My primary practice is PA right now, and it depends on what industry. So employers right now, if they're doing in-person business, now it's important that you did a timestamp because your company's lawyers and HR should be having a ticker on everything that comes out of your state's office, the governor's office. If you're doing in-person business, you have to have a COVID policy. And I know we will talk about that later. If you're doing remote business, make sure that your people feel connected. And the making sure your people feel connected also spills over to the in-person business. These employees need to know that you care about them. And by the way, you have to let them know that you care about them. At least in Pennsylvania, you have to post notices that abide by the recent orders. So like, for example, all right, today's May 14th. Last week, May 8th, there was an order that came out from the governor that allowed 24 counties to go into the yellow phase. So I'm getting a lot of questions from companies that are in the red counties, which are around Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, basically anything that's not in the northwest corner of the state. Companies are saying, I'm seeing the yellow. What does that mean? And what I'm telling people is, let's look at where we are and let's prepare for when we get there.
Got it. Okay. So when it comes to protecting your employees, which a lot of HR people get in trouble for seeming that they may care about the company
more than the actual employee. So let's break those into two different conversations. To protect your employees right now, whether you're remote or you're thinking about going back in person or hybrid remote, what does that look like to protect your employees with a COVID policy?
So I'm really happy you phrased the question that way, because what I'm telling my clients is there is no protecting the employee and protecting the employee is protecting the company, and protecting the company is protecting the employee. It's all one. It's all together. The employee, you have no company without your employees, and the employees don't have a company without that. Like, well, that I didn't even know how to do the inverse of that, because there is none. If you don't have your employees, you do not have a company. So it all basically revolves around a COVID policy.
Got it. And then in that COVID policy, what are some of the things that would be included in that that companies would have to adhere to keep them compliant based off of where they're located or the type of business they are?
Right. All right. So we can talk Philly, or let's talk Philly. Right now, Philadelphia is in the red phase. So we have to abide by the March 19th order March 19th, Governor Wolf shut down everything down except for life-sustaining businesses. So if you're a life-sustaining business, like grocery stores, CVSs, restaurants, to the extent that they can do, takeout, curbside pickup and stuff. Let's say you're a life-sustaining business. So you are operating. You have every order that comes out, you have to read it like a message from the governor saying, this is how you are going to be compliant. This is how you are going to protect your employees. So I'm looking at one now. So I believe the best policy is explain to the employees for every situation. Because think about it. When you're going into work and you're thinking, oh my God, I just got off the SEPTA and the guy next to me coughed. What do I do? Employees should be able to look to a packet, and it doesn't have to be War and Peace. It can just be a succinct little packet that they can look at, that they can review and say, okay, I'm going to talk to my HR because I was exposed to a potential case of COVID. Or actually, that hypothetical doesn't make sense, because your policy would say that what is a close contact? I'm finding a lot of people are worried, myself included. You know, you walk by, you don't want to get anyone sick. And the guidance actually kind of can ease your pain a little bit. And you wonder, like, what is a close contact? Well, it's being within 6 feet of a probable or confirmed case of COVID for about 10 minutes. So if you're on, now I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you can't contract, I'm not a doctor or a physician assistant or anything like that. But like, if you have that knowledge, it might calm your fears. So I like to have a policy that sets out every scenario, which is only, you know, maybe you live with someone that has COVID, or you yourself woke up feeling sick. These employees should be able to look to a document, a resource that helps that calms their fears. And once they look at that, then the company knows what to do. It also, having a policy in between you and the employee makes it less personal. For instance, if you have the policy, then you both can look at it together. And by you, I mean the HR, I'm talking HR department and the employee, and say, well, let's look at this document that you reviewed, that we walked through together, and let's see what this document means. I also, and for what it's worth, the Pennsylvania order is very clear in what businesses must do in the event someone is exposed. It doesn't mean they have to stop working. They can still come to work, but the company has to make sure they check off the boxes underneath. They have to wear a mask, take their temperature, have the employee monitor their symptoms, socially distant, make sure that the employee is wiping down areas of high use, high frequency use. I can elaborate. After you go through the scenarios, you know, the first part of the policy will say, in the event of you're diagnosed with COVID, in the event that you have a close contact with a confirmed or probable case of COVID, this is what the company must do. This is what you must do. You must go home and quarantine. X, Y, and Z. Now, the second part of the handbook or the policy is really up to the company, and involves leave. Now, then that opens up the whole can of worms of the CARES Act and the FFCRA. And Then we go into how big is the business? Is it less than 500 employees? If so, the federal law applies with leave. With that, Bruce, even if you're, you know, if you're under 50 employees, what does that mean? If you're under 25, can I get an exemption? Do I have to provide this leave? And then you enter that inquiry of the financial hardship of providing that leave. And you and I were talking earlier, that's when you might bring in your accountant. But let's get back to the policy. It's the situations, the leave, if you are going to provide it. And then the second part is the employee hygiene, the cleaning policy. And this might sound like we are in the twilight zone, but I suggest if you're going to do in-person business, you distance the desks if you have desks. Make sure that the guidance in Pennsylvania requires that employers provide cleaning materials, make it accessible, hand sanitizer, wipes. My policies have every hour you wipe down your keyboards, your mouse, your phone, everything you're touching. It sounds apocalyptic, but that's our normal right now.
I have so many questions.
That's a loaded question.
So much. There's so much. My first question is, when you being the HR leader provides this policy to all the employees, by law, and maybe this is state by state, but by law, should you and do you need to, or do you need to, and would you recommend HR leaders having people sign off that they saw the policy, or is it good enough to just have an email record, or does it need to be e-signed or docu-signed? Because I'm sure that could open up a whole can of worms as well, where people say, oh, well, I didn't see it, or well, my HR person didn't read it all throughout. And on the surface, that may sound like a very silly thing, but on the surface, a lot of employee relations issues and legal issues seem to be really founded around miscommunication. So I'm curious, what should you do and what would you recommend around that?
Oh, definitely have the employee sign it. And for two reasons, you know, HR folks know, we all know, you have to have that employee sign it. And then with all of the changing laws, I mean, this whole podcast might be moot by tomorrow if Congress passes a business immunity, which I don't think will happen, but immunity to liability with all this. But yes, employees should sign it. And because things are changing so much, you can include language that says, you know, Bruce company has, you know, reserves the right to, you know, as laws change, we will update this handbook and circulate it again. And you don't have to re-sign an authorization. Like, the authorization will be all encompassing, but 100%. And I would recommend going through it. I think people will have a lot of questions. I think people are going to be nervous and scared. I think you should, I recommend these Zoom, whatever whatever is used, or even just a conference call, say, hey, we're going to go over this policy and let's all talk if you want to talk in private. And then let's put our lawyer hat on. People are more inclined to sue. Now, I'm not trying to sound callous, but more inclined to sue when they are scared and they don't feel taken care of. And that is where doing the right thing by your employees is doing the right thing by your business.
Got it. Okay, so we have everybody sign these policies, and now we have maybe a flexible schedule of some people working remote, some people working in the office, or it might be what I've been hearing from a lot of HR leaders referred to as the staggered schedule, where maybe some people are in certain days of the week working from home, because with the social distance protection that you'll have to do and put in place, you might actually run out of space. You might not have enough space, especially if you were already crowded already. So let's just assume that you have employees accidentally or intentionally not following the rules. What happens?
Oh, I mean, that's the beauty of this policy. Doesn't make it personal. You're in violation of this policy. The COVID, say the company has a COVID policy in place. You include a term that says any violations of this policy will result in discipline up to and including termination. This is serious stuff, Bruce.
So, I'm sitting here struggling with the idea that every single person in the office will use hand sanitizer and other things to wipe down their desk. I mean, I've been in the bathroom with many people who don't wash their hands after the bathroom. So I can only imagine now when you're talking about a desk or a keyboard or a monitor, it seems like companies may have to hire businesses to do this, but it also sounds like you're saying in some of these policies, it requires employees to do it themselves, which seems very hard to track and also even more difficult to actually hold people accountable for it.
Yeah, so that's why the guidance actually requires, it's a beautiful segue into what Pennsylvania is calling pandemic safety officers. And that is the person that is in charge of, enforcing is not the right word, but in charge of the COVID policy and making sure people are adhering to it. Kind of like a safety. And that's the real kicker in this guidance. And I can give you the links to all these things, Bruce, and I'm sure your HR folks have them all. That's the kicker in the guidance. It's like buried in the second to last page. It says that, you know, you have to post this notice in your office, and it identifies, it's signed by a member, someone from the company, and identifies a pandemic safety officer who is in charge from the COVID-19 safety procedures for the business. So that is a loaded sentence, because that says this person's in charge of your safety procedures, which means you got to have them. And in addition to what the employees are doing, of course, the companies should probably soup up their cleaning services and save those receipts.
Wow.
Would you say, I'm sorry, was that why?
No, that was wow.
Oh, wow.
Saving the receipts to prove that you clean the office.
I think everything, this is just me thinking as a litigator, everything that we do, every decision that companies are making since St. Patrick's Day onward, you know, around St. Patrick's Day, are real about the business decisions. So I really think that it's important that you just document everything you're doing, because it could add up to a really nice story about how you really care about your employees, which you do. Everyone does. I mean, maybe some people don't, but not who I work with.
Have you dealt with any clients that have had to deal with like unfortunate events where people are really sick or have died because of COVID, or enduring work, and how that potentially makes the company accountable, or if they don't, or how does the policy play into that?
So I have not come personally, but that's really a nice, good question, because it's coming up. You've seen Walmart has been sued, a couple cases out of Dallas, one case actually up in, I think it's called Devon, Pennsylvania, at a meat processing facility where someone has died. And these lawsuits are, the causes of action are negligence, wrong, and wrongful death. And so, you know, so let's say something happens terribly at your place. Say an employee goes home and is sick, and that employee passes away, or that employee gets another person sick. I am tabling all of the social responsibility that we all have, right? I'm talking strictly as a lawyer. If that person passes away, that family is going to look to my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister, my wife, my husband went to work, and that company had nothing in place. The company, you might have gotten through the first 3 months of COVID, but you might as well shutter up call it a day if you get hit with one of these lawsuits, because I'm having a hard time finding what insurance policies will cover something like this. And things might change, Bruce, but these lawsuits are based in negligence and recklessness. It is known the EEOC has designated that COVID-19 is a direct threat to the company. So that, you know, that goes into a whole nother wormhole that companies can take temperatures, can ask about symptoms. The bottom line is there's no excuse. It's not like nobody knew about this, right? So if you're not taking the right precautions and documenting what you are doing, you are exposing yourself to disastrous litigation.
So now I want to go into some of the things that I've actually heard people thinking about and working on in other podcast interviews that I've had about COVID. One of those is around the idea that although there are a lot of people that are going stir crazy and they can't stand their spouse or their kids at this point. They can't wait to get out the house to get back into some sense of normalcy, to be able to work in the place that they're used to working. Mm-hmm. There's also a ton of people who now love this new normal if they're fortunate and lucky enough to be able to work at a company where they can work from home and be just as, if not more, productive. But I'm assuming that maybe not all companies, because even today or maybe yesterday, Twitter announced that indefinitely they're allowing employees to have the flexibility of working from home or not. But there's going to be a lot of companies that say, I don't care about that. You need to come back to the office. Will companies be able to force employees back if they don't want to? Is that part of the policy? Is that something that companies will have the power to be able to fire people if they say, look, I can still do my job from home? I mean, I get if you're a meatpacking plant and it's how can you do your job? But if you're a software engineer, a lawyer, mm-hmm. anyone that could actually do work from home and just as productive, can companies force you to go back?
That's a good question. So let's take that question as of today, or when things go into the yellow phase. Now we're talking about Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, according to the latest order where Governor Wolf identified the 24 counties that are in the yellow phase, according to that order and the guidance that accompanied it, if you've been working remotely, like for instance, so say you were working remotely and your county just went yellow, the guidance is clear, and it says, first and foremost, businesses that have been operating remotely through individual telework of their employees must continue to telework to prevent the spread of COVID-19 until the stay-at-home and business closure orders are fully lifted. So the answer today, if you are in the yellow phase, and eventually we all will be in the yellow phase, if you're working remotely and you just have to, and you just want your employees back, but they've been productive all along, and they're teleworking and business is going fine, you can't, according to this guide, you would be in violation of the guidance if you force them to come back. Now, let's say things loosen up. Say we're in the green phase and someone says, I'm afraid to go to work. Then it's a matter of, I mean, and again, this is speaking a little bit too far ahead because, Bruce, you know, we're living like day by day. But if it opens up to the green phase and someone says, I'm scared to come into work, then you can choose. I mean, what I've been saying is, all right, it's been a really weird time. We'll give you 2 weeks unpaid leave. We'll, your job is protected. Or a week. You know, you have to. That's when you talk with your lawyer. You talk with your accountant. You talk with your COO, the CFO. You know, you get your team together and say, what can we do for this person? You know, that's a judgment call that I don't really feel comfortable making right now, but. But now, so let's say you're conducting in-person business, say you're a grocery store, and say someone tells you, I don't want to come in today. I'm getting wigged out by all this. It's the same answer. You can't force someone to come into work because here you can't force someone to come in. You just can't do it. So you can say, all right, again, maybe you offer them a couple days off unpaid. You don't have to pay them, and then come back when you're ready. Or you say, okay, I have to hire someone else. You do have a business to run.
Interesting. For those that are either already fully remote or thinking about going fully remote, do you still need a COVID policy?
Yeah, I mean, so I recommend a solid remote work policy because it also just makes people, I mean, for as much freedom, and I have enjoyed working from home, it's nice. For as much freedom as we have, it's nice to have a little structure, and you need it for two reasons. I'd say have a remote policy and then have a COVID policy in the event, like if you have to go back into the office at some point. So say we're in green or say we're in yellow and, or no, green, and you have to go back to the office. I would throw in a little policy that says, you know, again, I'm talking as May 14th, 2020, put on a mask, make sure when you leave, make sure you sanitize where you worked, just something, I think, to make sure that everyone's kind of protected. I think it makes sense to add a little, you know, notify us when you go to the office, stuff like that, when you need to physically go into the office. So we know where you are. And then it might make sense to keep track of who is in the office. But yeah, I recommend letting people know you're still there and you care about them with a policy.
And then last question, are there any other potential areas that you see a lot of companies overlook, or they might have blind spots where they really should be focusing to try to stay out of legal trouble and protect their workforce and company?
Gosh, that's a big question. I see that a lot of people are doing the right thing and they're all on board about taking temperatures and all of that. Always remember that the EEOC and your companies are allowed to ask people about their symptoms and how they are feeling. That's all protected health information. So make sure when you are storing that it is compliant with the ADA. Like, make sure that's in a separate folder. Make sure that it's protected. Some people are using like documents, like almost like a Google Doc, but it's HIPAA protected. I know there's software out there that is outside of my wheelhouse, but make sure you're just protecting people's information, because a lot of this is medical information. Even if you're asking someone their temperature to certify that they don't have 100.4 degree fever, or I'm sorry, temperature, that's protected information that you can't disclose to other people.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like,
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, companies that get to like the 1 yard line and then like, you know, they don't keep that one thing confidential. Like there's a lot of other stuff, Bruce.
Yeah, there is. And I have so many questions for you, but I've already decided, if you're up to it, that in a couple of weeks, we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
With a timestamp, so we can see where we are, what has changed, and what do we think is coming down the pipe. So I truly appreciate you taking this time. And if you could share your contact information, I'm going to put it in the show notes, but if you could share it on the show, so for anyone who wants to reach out to you directly, that would be awesome, because I'm sure there are so many questions that everyone's going to have after hearing this that I couldn't get to.
Yeah. And for what, thanks. And I would love to, there's so much stuff. And for what it's worth, you know, it's all going to be okay. You know, we just got to make sure we protect our people, you know? So I'm at Offutt Kerman, and there's a whole slew of attorneys at Offutt Kerman, not just labor and employment. So I know a lot of my clients, or not a lot of my clients, but some clients are looking at their leases. And if you want to go fully remote, how do you know, there's real estate issues, stuff like that. So I have a lot of cool colleagues that can handle this. My email is Susie, S-U-S-I-E dot Cirilli, C-I-R-I-L-L-I at offuttkerman.com. Off, O-F-F-I-T, as in Tom, Kerman, K-U-R-M, as in Michael, A-N, as in Nancy, .com. And do you want to know, like, is that okay?
No, that's fine.
I don't know why I spelled that. I'm in love with Kerman.
Would you like my Instagram to DM me?
I didn't know what you were going. I was like, why am I saying M as in Michael and N as in Nancy?
It's all good. And we're going to put that on the show notes as well. But
yeah, take that part out of it or whatever.
Right. But depending on where they're listening, I want to make sure that they get the information regardless. So Susie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, trying to help so many companies help navigate COVID, this policy, to ultimately protect their employees and company. Hope you, your family, your team stay safe and stay healthy. And again, thanks for taking the time. We all really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast. To get more interviews like this, please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.